Corinthians chapter 12. As we look in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, we're starting on chapter 12. The theme of this chapter is spiritual gifts. And what he's going to deal with a lot in here is the confusion about it. I'm going to lay out the record, make everything straight under the inspiration of God. And, of course, the key verse is verse 4, which we'll read here in a little bit about their diversities of gifts but the same Spirit. And as you notice, there are 31 verses in this chapter, 593 words, all inspired by God, preserved forever for us in the King James Bible. This particular chapter is 3.2 on the grade level. And it's kind of odd how that thing's on such a low grade level but causes so much misunderstanding. And the reason it does is people take things out of context. I've learned as a preacher over the years that no matter what I say, people will take one little snippet of the thing and try to make it out into something it's not.
Yeah.
That's why we record every service. That way, unlike, I don't know, just throw some names around, Perry Noble that says things in the pulpit, gets caught with it on tape, so you can't deny it either when you get caught doing that stuff. Amen and amen. I know you scare them big churches, but I ain't. What are they going to do, come down here and tell us we can't do nothing no more?
Man, we ain't scared.
Yeah. But as we look at this chapter, it's divided into two parts. The first part, dealing with spiritual giving, and that's what the gifts are for, is for giving. And then the rest of the chapter shows a spiritual gleaning of those gifts. As we read tonight, we're going to read verses 1 through 11. Starting at verse 1, it says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away into these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. It says, for to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another kind, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues, but all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will." As we look tonight, I want to preach to you out of these verses on spiritual gifts. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we love you tonight. We thank you, God, for blessing us, Lord God, that today you saved us. You gave us the Holy Spirit of God. Lord, it seals us into the day of redemption and shows ownership, God, that you own us. And Father, in this church, when you put us together, God, you've gifted us with the gifts of the Spirit to profit everybody, not to have one be better than the other one, but so we can all work together. And I pray, God, that you'll help us, Lord God, and do a great work in us tonight. And Lord, develop these things in us so we may serve our Lord Jesus Christ. For it's in his precious name we pray and for his sake. Amen. As we look tonight at these gifts tonight and the spiritual giving of these gifts, the first thing you'll notice in verses 1 through 3 is that literally there's an ignorance of the spiritual gifts. Now, usually when people get into dealing with this type of thing, when you see a preacher get up and start talking about the ignorance of spiritual gifts, majority of the time he's trying to take a good, independent, fundamental, King James, Bible-believing Baptist church and turn it into a charismatic operation.
Yep.
That is not the case here tonight. My only goal with this is to tell you what God said. That's it. And just in case there's ever any doubt in your mind, there's not a charismatic bone in my body. There's not much hair on my head, but what's left, there's not a charismatic hair on my head. Amen.
Amen.
And listen, I've got just as much of the Holy Ghost they got.
Right.
And I'm going to show you something here. He points out in verse 1, he said, "Now concerning spiritual gifts," he said, "brethren," he's talking about saved people, "I would not have you ignorant." Ignorant literally is lacking knowledge or information on a subject. Now I know y'all remember Loretta Lynn. Don't you laugh. I'll have her here next week singing Amazing Grace for you. Amen. But listen to this. Listen to this. Y'all remember watching that movie? She said, "I may be ignorant, but I ain't stupid." That's a direct quote from her. Now, I say that to say this. Ignorant and stupid are two different things. Stupid shows that you cannot learn it. Ignorant shows you just don't know. When I was growing up, I was ignorant of things until I got to be older and could understand them. And when I got saved, I was ignorant of God's spiritual things until I got old enough in the Lord to understand them. I still, to this day, I have a problem with a lot of things that I see going on, but I've realized that a lot of it can be ignorance on the part of people. That's where, listen to this, that's where the pastor is to preach and to teach the people so they won't be ignorant and preach the whole Bible to them, tell them what God said from cover to cover, give every verse attention, believe every word, believe every verse, and take it in its context of how it's written, and then apply it to where you're at today and see what's going on. And all of the above takes the Holy Spirit of God. You want to talk about God's gift by the Spirit of God? Here's one right in front of you, the Word of God. And that gift right there will show the rest of the spiritual gifts we're going to look at tonight. But the pastor is to preach and teach the people what the Bible says. The late George Lockerbie pastored East Gaffney Baptist Church. He wrote an interesting commentary on these three chapters of chapters 12, 13, and 14. He called it charismatic confusion. And he laid out those three chapters, verse by verse, line upon line, precept upon precept, went through the whole thing. And if you read those outlines, you would come out of that thing saying, "Man, that's what the Bible says." And that's the goal of every preacher, is to tell you what the Word of God says and apply it to your heart and life by the Spirit of God. Now, let me show you something. He says in verse 2 about these things, not only is the pastor to preach and teach the people about this, he said, "You know that you were Gentiles, and see, you were Gentiles. You're no longer Gentiles. What are you now? You're Christians. You got put in the body of Christ." He said, "You're carried away into these D-U-M-B, dumb idols, even as you were led." Now, I want you to notice something about them idols. They're not dumb as in they can't comprehend. They couldn't speak. A dumb idol, he can't speak. Now, I notice that dumb idol he's talking about right there, he said, "Even as you were led," these dumb idols never spoke and told them anything, but yet they were led somehow to those things. Can I show you what he's saying here? Be frank with you so you can get this. There was a spirit leading them to those idols. And he's going to deal with that thing in verse 3 and said, "Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed. And that no man can say that Jesus is," circle that word, "the Lord, but by the Holy Ghost." See that? Now let me show you something here. In verse 3, the people of God are to study the Scriptures and take them in. And he said, "I give you to understanding." And listen, there's a crowd out there right now that listen, they try to tell you the Apocrypha is part of your Bible. The King James translators in 1607 to 1611 dealt with that thing, and when they were started out in 1604, every one of them believed the 66 books of the Bible were inspired of God, and they were for us. And when they did the Apocrypha, they put it between the Testaments, and listen, they'd done that so the people of their day who only spoke English and could barely read English, they made it to where they could see what this crowd was doing to them and how they were lording God's things over their head because they were ignorant of things. Now listen to this. You talking about a blow to somebody, not only did that Protestant Reformation do a blow to the Catholic Church, but also did the King James Bible. Here's why. It let everybody see behind the curtain to see that the wizard was just pulling levers, that he really had no magical powers. Amen, friend. Ain't that good? Now, you say, "Am I picking on them?" They're the ones that said, if you don't believe the Apocrypha and quote from it, you're accursed. Now, let's read verse 3 again. "Wherefore I give you the understanding that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed." Jesus never quoted from the Apocrypha. He never quoted from the Septuagint because it wasn't in existence until 200 or 300 years after the fact of him dying. He, listen to this, you can't call him accursed and you didn't do it by the Spirit of God. Right. That lets me know something. The ignorance of the spiritual gifts fall right in the lap of somebody that wants to keep the people ignorant and only feed them what they want to know or what they want them to know and never tell them what the Word of God says. Do you know I've often found this out, and this is one of the great things I've understood over the years, that if there's going to be a great church, it don't have to be a great church in number, but it does have to have a great Bible, and it has to go through every great verse and understand and preach every great word in it, and the people have to take that thing and do something great with it. That's what I've understood about the Word of God. And I see here he said that no man calleth Jesus accursed by the Spirit of God. So we know that that crowd is not of the Lord. They're not led of the Spirit of God. And then he drops this thing in here, that no man can say Jesus is the Lord, he says, but by the Holy Ghost. Now, over the years, I've heard people at some of these bookstores answer the phone and say, Jesus is Lord bookstore, can I help you? Jesus is Lord dry cleaners, can I help you? Every time they say that, they think they're making a positive confession of faith in order to show that they are of the Holy Ghost, because somebody told them that. If you will understand this tonight, look at Philippians chapter 2. Hold your place here. Philippians chapter 2. I want you to compare something. We're going to do a little comparative reading tonight. Philippians chapter 2. You can get in a mess without this Bible. People will lead you astray without the Bible. Now I want you to see something. Philippians chapter 2. You do know that there's coming a day in which every knee and every tongue shall bow and confess something. I want you to see it in chapter 2, verse 11 of Philippians. We're going to look right back over at 1 Corinthians 12. It says in Philippians chapter 2, verse 11, that every tongue... Now, when it says every tongue, does that mean every living being that's ever been alive? Sure it does. What are they going to confess? Watch this. Confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. That means every lost person, every demon in hell, the devil, and all that crowd will say Jesus is Lord. Back over 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 3. And that no man can say Jesus is the Lord. The Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. Amen. Saying Jesus is Lord, the devil's going to have to say that. But Jesus is the Lord. Amen. There are no others. That's by the Holy Ghost. Amen. That's how you can detect these things. It's usually, and listen to this, don't ever tell nobody I said all that stuff to the devil, but here's how it works. Somebody's leading you. Either you being led astray by somebody that you're going to say Jesus is Lord with one day to the glory of God the Father, or right now the Holy Ghost is telling you Jesus is the Lord. Is that right? I mean, we just look at the Bible. So I'm mad. I'm glad you're mad. You need to wake up anyway. Everything's shaping up around us and world prophecy and things going on. So we need to get mad about something. So if I make you mad, good for you. You need your blood veins cleared out anyway. You probably had so much chicken for dinner today, you need to have a good, what they call a gully washer. We're going to give you that tonight. We're going to give you that thing. But we see the ignorance of the spiritual gifts. A lot of times people just don't know these things. But then we see the instructions about spiritual gifts starting at verse 4, where he says in the key verse of this chapter, now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Diversities, different kinds. They do different things. He says in verse 5, and there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. Now when you see the word administrations, you're talking about how something's administered. Like some of you, you've got different administrations of how you fix a sandwich. Some of you, you will take and you will go get a knife and you will take and get out a gob of mayonnaise and slap it and slurve it all over the bread with a knife. Some of you more sophisticated types that watch television know that they don't use a knife for that. They use this thing called a spoon. And you get you out just a little spoonful of that thing. And who am I kidding? You get a big old spoonful of that thing out of there, and you whop him on there and take the back side of that spoon, and you're rubbing him in real good where it flakes up around the sides like that. Looks like almost like a cake. Amen. Nobody ever sees it but you see it. There it is. See, both of them do the same thing. They put the mayonnaise on the bread, and it's done by the same hand. Some of you that are just uppity won't even do that at all. Why, you'll buy a dispenser that has a little squirt thing on the end of it and take a perfectly good jar of Duke's mayonnaise and pour it in said dispenser, and you got to write, you got to put a circle and a smiley face on there and all that other stuff, don't you? Tell the truth. We won't laugh at you too hard. But I notice this, that how it's administered, that shows me that there's differences in the way you do things, but it's the same Lord. Then he says in verse 6, and there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. So what God does is he's going to list a set of gifts. He's going to give some of them are for comprehension. Some of them literally are for confirmation. And then some are for communication. And as he goes through these things, don't you look at them. Starting in verse number 7 there, he says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. Everybody's got to be on the same level spiritually for this thing to work. And the way it works is this. Gifts of the Spirit are not given so that some Christians are more spiritual than others. You can be spiritual with, you can have spiritual gifts and not be spiritual at all. I've seen people who are called of God, preachers that are called of God, that get in a mess and run off with a woman. They were spiritual at one time. They were the man of God. They were where God had them, but they got led astray in sin. They had a gift, but they weren't spiritual. You see how that works? But as he goes through the verses here, we're going to look at them. It says, for one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. And that wisdom literally is God just gives some people understanding of things, and they're able to understand things a little more clear than others are. It's because they have wisdom. When we went to do some stuff around this church, and we're going to do things that are profitable to this church, it's going to be a blessing to everybody. It's not always everybody that's on the same page with it, but one or two will know how to do it. It amazes me sometimes. Look at the steeple on this building. I thought, man, that thing, when we unloaded that thing off that truck down there the other day, I thought, we'll never get that thing up there. I'm glad we had wisdom out here that said, the wisdom was given to some and said, you know what, we can put it up there. Here's how we're going to do it. I had no idea. I was thinking we'd hook a couple ropes to it, get some of you women on the other side of this building, and we'd tell you to get to pulling, and we'd push, and y'all would pull, and we'd get her up there. But it didn't work like that at all. Y'all ever heard of a forklift? That's how we done it. Then we see other things happen. We get to getting in here. We get to looking at things, how things are put together, and we say, well, we don't know how to do that. One guy pops up, I know how to do that. It's a gift of wisdom God put here for somebody. He points out in that verse, he said, one's given the spirit of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. So the same Holy Ghost that brings wisdom brings knowledge. That all of a sudden you got a guy that knows how to do it, and over here you got somebody that's got all the information on it. Where'd they get that from? They got it from God. And listen to this. That word of wisdom, that word of knowledge, don't be fooled by these people that get up and say, as I look in this TV screen, one of you has been told this week that you have inoperable cancer. Well, out of 12 million viewers, I'd hope one of them probably has that. I mean, that's not too much. But you know what God would have done? Had God been behind that, he had called their name out right there on the spot. Jesus had those spiritual gifts. You know that? He displayed every one of them. And listen to this. When he met a man over in John chapter 1, he told him what he was doing a half hour before he ever saw him, before he met him. That, my friends, is wisdom and knowledge. That ain't that stuff you see on TV. But I see here that word of knowledge comes along, and sometimes people just have the information to be able to share that information out, that it edifies the whole body of Christ, and everybody profits with it, and that person's not puffed up because, well, I have that word of knowledge on me. You may not have that word of knowledge. You may be a faker. But notice this one. He says in verse number 9, to another faith by the same Spirit. And that faith there is not saving faith. This is the people who already have saving faith. This faith here is serving faith. I believe I've seen missionaries that come through this church, and missionaries we got out of this church, I believe that God has given them a gift of faith. And here's why. You know, I think as a pastor, we're in the same boat with this thing, but here's something here that I've always never understood. A man quits his job, goes out to a bunch of churches, and tells them he wants to go do something for the Lord. He believes he's supposed to be there. His family believes in him. His church believes in him. But throughout 50 to 500 other churches he's got to go to and tell that, they don't believe it. So where they don't have that kind of serving faith, he's got to have it so he can go serve the Lord with it. Imagine that, having 50 churches support you, and you got to find them out about 1,000 of them. You know what that's called? Serving faith. That, listen, friend, that right there, I say, he says to another, faith by the same Spirit, I'd say that's a gift. You know why I know it's a gift and not everybody has it? Because not everybody's doing that. Not everybody has the word of wisdom. Not everybody has the word of knowledge. Not everybody has the spirit of faith. But I know this, when God gives it to somebody, you can tell it. There's definitely stupidity in faith, by the way. I see here he says to another, faith by the same Spirit. Verse number 9, to another, the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. When God gives a gift of healing, it's not given to somebody that has to draw a crowd in order to perform said healing.
Right.
It's not given to somebody that can heal only if the person believes they can be healed. And I believe beyond a shadow of doubt, I'm King James only from one side to the other, Baptist upside the other side, and I still believe God can heal people.
Yep.
I believe in eternal security of the believer, no way out of that thing, King James Bible, and I still believe God can heal people. But if you'll notice how that thing's worded, the gifts, plural, of healing. You say, do those things still exist? Sure they do. So where do they exist at? Well, I believe God gives them to the sick people. He don't give them to the well people. He give them to the sick people. You know why? They need it.
Right.
And in every case where you see a gift of healing, it's because God wanted to do something else to that person instead of taking them on.
Right.
I use my son Justin a lot of times as an illustration of this, but that's a gift of healing. You say, wait a minute, he's got cerebral palsy. You don't understand. He is supposed to die before he's 2 years old there that night in hospital. We prayed and said, Lord, please don't let that happen. Would you do something? We didn't understand a gift of healing. But I know this, they wasn't no Benny Hinn walking down the corridor that night. They wasn't no Oil Ripoff showed up. They wasn't no Creflos flying in on those $65 million jets or a $30 million jet at the time. But there was the Holy Ghost swept through that hospital that night and gave a gift of healing to that boy, and I was there when it happened. You say, well, why didn't y'all take it down to Bilo Center? Well, you know, they don't, that's right, they don't believe all that stuff down yonder. We had the man of God there praying. My daddy was there. I was there. And two doctors there all holding hands praying. And I've never seen two doctors take a breath and cry like I've seen that night. Why? God did something. We didn't have to have a healing line, anointing oil, and all that other stuff. We just had God. That's all we needed, though. And listen, if you ever need that gift of healing, he'll give it to you. If you don't need it and he wants you to go to heaven, you go into heaven. That's just the way that works. Listen, why does God leave one and take another? I'll never know, but he does. I know this, he brings that gift of healing. You won't have to have no book to tell you how to keep it.
Right.
You won't have to read no instruction manual on how to keep your healing. God will keep give you that thing forever.
Right.
You go on down there, he says in that verse number 11, to another the working of miracles. You say, what's that? That is when people, listen, when people see something miraculous happen in their life, where God works that miracle out there just for them. There's been people over the years, and I've seen this happen a lot of times with folks here in this church, and I'm sure it happens in other churches where they do faith promise missions, but I've seen it happen here, and I've heard testimonies here, so I can only speak of what we have. But I have seen people who would be in a job, an entry-level job, and doing the best they could, giving the faith promise missions, wanting to see souls saved, serving the local church, praying every day, reading the Bible, loving Jesus, and just as satisfied as if there's a Rockefeller. And God come along and work out a miracle. And somebody come in and see that work ethic, say, I'm going to put you somewhere. So what is that? That's a miracle. That's a miracle. I've seen people come along and they'll be in a place working, and there they are, they tithe on every dollar, they only know what they know, and they hear about faith promise missions, and they say, you know what, Lord, I'm going to trust you for that, and they start giving to it. And then God shuts the plant down. They say, Lord, what am I going to do now? And then he opens up something bigger. It's amazing how God works that thing out. But everybody don't get in on that, because a lot of people just can't believe God for it. But if you believe God, then miracles are still possible. Here's a miracle for you. Some of you are sitting here today because you're a miracle. You needed one. God sent one your way. He probably sent some kind of situation your way that totally pinned you in, got you sober as a judge, and got you into a place where he could deal with you, and God dealt with you in conviction, and you got saved. What was all that around you? That was a working of miracles, looks like. Because otherwise, you wouldn't have been in no shape to be able to hear the gospel or believe the gospel.
Right.
You ever dealt with a drunk before? You ever tried to get a drunk saved? I went out of this old trailer park one day, and I was out there, and knocked on the old door of the old guy, and he come to the door. He had a fifth of liquor in one hand, a cigarette in the other, and hugged me and kissed me. He said, "I'm so glad you're here." He said, "I don't know what I'm going to do." And I thought, "Lord, I don't know what I'm going to do either." I had liquor going down the side of my face where that dude said, "I love you, preacher." I was like, "Oh, man, this is going to be bad if the highway patrol stopped me on the way home." Because I could smell it. I know it was somebody else could. He went there and he sat down on his floor at his house. He didn't have nothing there but an ashtray in the middle of the floor and his bottle of liquor. That's it. He said, "You want a cigarette?" And he started doing like this. He said, "Wait a minute, I'm out of cigarettes." I said, "Well, I guess I won't be smoking weed tonight." He had drank his last drop of liquor, and he said, "I ain't got nothing to offer you to drink." I said, "That's okay." I said, "I quit. I'm okay. I'm good." He said, "I want you to tell me what happened to you." So I sat there and told him my testimony, what God did. And for the life of him, he couldn't get a hold of that thing. But see, when you're intoxicated, it's hard to get a grasp of that thing. God may work around that thing. What would that be called? A miracle. A miracle. Sometimes you'll be in a place like that and be in a mess like that, and God will work out your whole life and get you to the point where you're sober, and now he'll come deal with you about it. Now, I noticed this. He points out to another working of miracles, to another prophecy. Now I want you to notice something here. When he says prophecy here in the New Testament, look over at chapter 14 for a second. Chapter 14, verse 3. He says about prophecy over here, says, "But he that prophesieth." You see that "he"? "He that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort." That gift of prophecy in the New Testament is not a foreteller, but a forth teller.
Right.
The difference is this. Over here we compare scripture with scripture. "He that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification." He builds them up. "Exhortation," he encourages them, and "comforts" them, he helps them while they're down. You know what I like? I like it when people's down in the dumps and they so far down they can't look up. Now I'm talking about saved people. They've been through some of the hardest things in their life. You know what God does? Works it right around where it happens on Sunday, and they gotta come to the house of God. They'll come in all broken down, everything. All of a sudden we get to hearing about God's amazing grace or something like that. Holy Ghost takes our minds back to something like that. The man of God gets up and preaches, and while he's preaching, hey, listen, the healing oil from Calvary comes out there and starts pouring on them wounds, and God begins to help people.
Yeah.
I'll never forget in my life sitting here one night. We had a service after my Grandpa McDaniel died, and boy, it was good. God was good to us. I forget what all happened that night, but I got up and preached that night out of the book of Philemon, I believe it was. I think it was that one. It's been a while. It's been 20 years, so bear with me here. But I remember preaching out of that thing. I don't remember a whole lot of what I said, but I remember this. I remember a young lady coming and getting saved that night. I wasn't really prepared to preach out of that. I just knew that I'd been studying all week, and when Grandpa died, I was kind of messed up all that. Jordan was born over the weekend. I was running on 38 hours of no sleep, and I got up and said what I felt like the Lord had had me say. I'm glad they didn't record them back then. I'd probably look back and say that's probably the worst one I ever preached. But boy, God sure used all that.
Amen.
You know what the problem? You know what the difference is in all that? A gift. Prophecy. See, when we see that thing over there, that gift of prophecy there, in chapter 14, verse 3, that gift and what it is, we see this. He didn't say evangelism in that thing, because evangelism goes with the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's everybody. But that gift of prophecy, if you look there, edification, exhortation, and comfort. We exhort one another by the Scripture. We build up in love by the Scripture, and we comfort by the Scripture. That's what your preacher is right there. That's a God-called preacher. I see also, he says to another, to the prophecy, to another discerning of spirits. When we get to somebody that especially in that time there, especially now, the discerning of spirits means this. It literally shows you there's somebody in church can always spot that phony that comes in. And I don't mean a phony Christian or phony preacher, but somebody comes in and listen, I've heard this stuff till I'm blue in the face with it about how such and such, they had a little church on I-85 and this apostle dropped in on them. Well, you know what? With the discerning the spirits have, they'll be able to discern that guy's not an apostle.
Right.
Him or her.
Amen.
And when they come along saying, I want to give you a word of knowledge, they say, you ain't got one. You ain't got one. Because if you had one, we would have had it.
Right.
Listen to this, that discerning the spirits, when somebody does come in, has got a word from God, people know it.
Right.
Not everybody has this gift. But I will tell you this, when people tell you they got it, usually they don't have it. Because that gift's something that'll scare you to death. And by the way, because we're human beings and this is a gift, it don't work 100% of the time either. None of this stuff does. There'll be times it won't work. There'll be times you'll see people get in the Word of God and they'll misread something or read something out of context and get in a mess. But I know this, when that discerning the spirits is there, hey, it's a scary thing. It's a very scary thing. He also points out this to another, divers kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues. Now, I want you to hold your place here, man. I want to show you something. I just read this a while ago, and I thought, man, this will tie in perfectly with this. You ever hear somebody come along, and they'll say, well, our church is more spiritual than you because we talk in the unknown tongue. Well, bless your heart, honey. You talk in the unknown tongue. Does your tongue sound like Abba Sheba, who stole my Honda, look at my bow tie? Well, it probably ain't real. If somebody had to teach you how to jibber-jabber like that, it's probably not real. If your church has classes on how to talk in tongues, you're a phony. But watch this, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, over in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. It is not expedient for me to doubtless to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell. God knoweth. For such an one, he said, such an one called up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words which it is not lawful for a man to utter. So if you've got a heavenly language, you're not even supposed to speak that thing. It's against the Word of God to do that. Isn't that something? But we come back and look at the spiritual gift of tongues. Let me show you what they are. Tongues are languages. At Pentecost, that was a sign gift to that Jew to let them know that God was moving. They always had to have a sign. Tongues was their sign. And we get to the New Testament church, when somebody spoke in tongues, generally when they went from one place to another, if there was a body of people there that did not speak the language of the missionary that was coming in or the apostle that came in, God gave them utterance. They knew how to speak a language they'd never studied.
Right.
Not bad for a bunch of fishermen that never graduated high school.
Right.
I mean, some of you learned minds today can't do that with the years of study. But what I do see is God's Spirit giving a spiritual gift of tongues. Well, then people went out and started winning people to Christ like that. And it said to another, the interpretation of tongues, a man that's never studied that language before hears it, but yet he understands it. Gift, gift. Isn't that something? That's God's Spirit.
Amen.
He didn't say they went to college and learned it. They just right off the bat knew it. God's Spirit gave it to them. Now, the next time you see somebody telling on TV that they're going to speak an unknown tongue, this, that, and other, and he gets up and says something and then interprets himself, that don't go to the same guy.
Yeah.
You don't get the luxury of interpreting your same tongue. And by the way, according to verse 3, you ain't up there jibber-jabbering in a language you don't know, calling Jesus accursed, are you?
Amen.
We're talking about spiritual. We're talking about the real Spirit here. And as I see here, he says about all this stuff, he says about all these things in verse 11, but all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit dividing to every man severally as he will. God's Spirit brings a body of believers together and he spiritually gifts them to be one great body. Now, as they've uncovered things in the Bible, as far as archaeology, and they've uncovered places like that, Do you know every New Testament church that was in existence that had a building was never as big as this building? They may have had a door, a couple of windows, and a baptistry of some kind if they wasn't close to a river or something like that. Do you realize how good we got it now? Boy, we ain't walking in here on sandals on concrete, are we? We got carpet down. We got nice padded places to sit in. When it gets hot, we flip a switch and make it cold. When it gets cold, we flip a switch and make it hot. Boy, we've got it made. I got to thinking the other day, and I looked out my bottle of water. I thought, I wonder if old Apostle Peter or Paul or John or them ever had somebody bring them water while they was preaching out of a nice bottle that it wasn't brown water. Boy, we've got it made. They had to go out and preach in the streets and go out and tell the Word of God to everybody. They didn't have Christian radio. They didn't have radio stations. They didn't have CDs. They didn't have the internet to all it with. But yet they made it somehow. And you know what? God gives His Spirit to us to be able to do all this stuff to keep us going and keep pushing that stuff out there. Hey, do you realize God has given this church exactly what it needs? I mean, we've got everything we need here. The potential here is unbelievable. Somebody called and asked about singing and all this other stuff. I said, now there's one thing we ain't singing with. They said, what's that? I said, tapes. We ain't got to. They said, why? I said, we got too many musicians in the church to allow that. I mean, if we didn't have nothing, that'd be different. But I mean, boy, we've got people here who can play everything. Play everything but the good guy sometimes. Amen. I'm telling you, God's gifted this place. And listen to this. I see people all the time, they struggle with these spiritual gifts. They say, well, I always heard that was just that bunch of tongue-flapping people like that. No. That's God's people in a church like this one. God gifts the believer because He wants to do something with that believer and put them in the body to be able to use them to His glory, honor, and praise. May we take the spiritual gifts and get into some spiritual giving and be able to edify one another with those gifts right there. Let's all stand with every head bowed, every eye.